Welcome to News Over Brews, the only podcast that breaks down the best of this week's pop culture over a nice cold beer. Sponsored by PopBreak.com. I am your host and moderator, Al Manarino. This week, we talk about the possibility of one of our favorite bands getting their own television show. Jack Black's most famous film is becoming a show on Nickelodeon, and the first trailer for Penguins of Madagascar is the subject of this week's Trailer Talk. With me, as always, is someone who was too good to actually be on the podcast last week, Lucas Jones.
Well, I was busy shipping up to Boston. Whoa.
And someone who was gracious enough to actually join me on the podcast, Ryan DeMarco.
Well, I really had nothing else going on, so I figure, hey, what the hell?
So, Lucas, I'm just going to disregard everything Ryan's saying. How was your trip up to Boston? What'd you do?
Well, it was great, actually. You know, we went up on a Thursday, so I couldn't join on the podcast. But I went up with two intentions. The first intention was to get out of lovely, sunny Manahawkin, because as much as I love it here, I hate it here.
So true.
No, that's not true. I do love Manahawkin, but every once in a while you got to get out. So I went and visited some friends from college. But Boston is like a huge mecca for craft beer. So we visited Samuel Adams Brewery, Harpoon Brewery, and Trillium Brewery. But on the way there, I passed through Connecticut, which, being the place of my birth, I felt a bit nostalgic. So I figured I'd go exploring and find some breweries that were there. So on the way there, I visited SBC, Southport Brewing, and on the way back, I visited Shebeen Brewing Company, which is the subject of this week's beer review. Shebeen has a ton of cool beers. They've got things like Pineapple Wheat, an 1814 brown ale developed with ingredients from the time period, a cucumber wasabi beer, a whole bunch of different stuff. But this week, we're doing the Turbo IPA. Clocks in at 7% alcohol by volume, uses 5 different grains, 14 separate hop infusions, and 6 pounds of hop per barrel. So they're loading in hops at the back end of the boil and dry hop to add more aroma than bitterness. So there's a ton of hops in there, but it's also like not super bitter. We had the opportunity to talk with the head brewer and owner, and he said he's not a fan of the super bitter hop bombs, that there's way more to hop than just a bitter taste. And so that's what he's trying to explore with these beers. So we got a 32-ounce swing top growler, and it survived the trip home, and now it's here in our glasses and our bellies.
Inside of us,
where it should be.
Yes.
So it pours this kind of a deep golden, it's opaque, it's definitely not clear. And it smells really good, you know. We poured it into some tulip glasses to really concentrate the aroma, because that's what the beer is offering. And let me just... Yeah, it's like a really nice, malty, slightly floral aroma. The taste, you know, I like bitter beer. And so when it first came out of the fridge, it was like really bitter. Mm-hmm. And Ryan, what did you think of it when it first came out of the fridge?
Well, when it first came out of the fridge, the aroma caught me more than the taste. I wasn't actually too crazy about it my first tasting. But then, as you pointed out later, it got better with temperature. As it got a little warmer, more room temperature, the flavor really kind of... can't really quite explain
it. It comes out. The subtle nuances of the flavors of the beer kind of come out as the beer warms up a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, it's not super warm. It's still very cold.
No,
but
no.
It's not like back of the fridge for the last 3 days cold. And I really like it. I liked it when it first came out, but I like it even more when it's served. I guess it would be like the proper temperature. Gosh, let me just get a...
It is very refreshing. It's not overbearing at all. It's a perfect summer beer, really.
Mm-hmm. It's a really nice balance between malts and hops. You know, it's not... A bitter bomb. It's great. I'm a huge fan of this beer. So definitely top marks for this one. I'm really sad that it's in Connecticut, although it's only like a 3.5-hour drive away.
That's not far.
That's not bad.
Couple of last notes on Shebeen. They're in Walcott, Connecticut. One Walcott Road in Walcott, Connecticut. Very, very easy to find. Very nice area. They working on opening like a beer hall kind of a room, so that they're a very new brewery in Connecticut. And they gave us a tour, so expect a video tour thing about them fairly soon.
The near future.
The near future. The other cool thing is another beer of theirs will be featured in a new thing that we're doing, like a beer round table. Yes. They make a cannoli beer, which I was skeptical at first.
But I wouldn't be.
My God. As a man who was raised on cannolis, it was just absolutely phenomenal. So that'll be a little bit later. But they actually invited us back in late October. At Harpoon, I tried a bacon bock. And I told him about it. He said, oh, yeah, we've got something, too. It's a bacon Kona porter, as in Kona coffee. So it's a bacon coffee porter that's going to be coming out, I think he said end of October. And I told him that we'll have to come back. So, yeah, hopefully you stick with us for, 2 months and we'll bring you some more of Shabin. But, yeah, so this won't be the last that we see of Shabin on the podcast. And I'm really happy about that because it's very, very good beer. I give this one an 8.5 out of 10. I love IPAs. Mm-hmm. And this is nice. And I really like that it changes flavor with temperature. You get more of the subtleness, the subtle balance that I think he's going for based on what we talked about while I was there.
I'm going to go ahead and give it probably 7.5. It is quite the summer beer, as I said. The aroma caught me more than the taste at first. Got better with temperature. Still, I feel like something's a little kind of missing. I can't really quite put my finger on it. But it's still an awesome brew. And I appreciate you bringing it back from your journey. And, yeah, I'm excited I'm having it. Thank you, Lucas.
You're welcome. They had a Black Hop IPA there also, which was a little bit roastier.
That's nice. Yeah.
So that would have been, I just got this, it kind of caught my tongue a bit. So that's Shabin Brewing's Turbo IPA. Look for more from them, from us, in the near future.
Thank you, Lucas, as always. As he mentioned, you did a video tour, which is really cool. We're really excited. We're going to be implementing not one, but two new video segments. I don't want to give all the details yet, but we're going to be introducing them through popbreak.com and their YouTube channel, and we'll be posting it all over Facebook and Twitter and SoundCloud. We'll keep you updated. Lucas, I'm very jealous I didn't get to try this beer as well, but you mentioned this round table thing that we're going to be trying out for the next podcast, and I'm extremely excited to try out the other beers that you got from Boston.
And we're excited to see you in person.
Yes, everyone is. So now that Lucas is back from his awesome trip from Boston, we can finally get back to what's important, the podcast. First bit of news, some awesome music and television news. Luke?
Well, pretty much podcast favorite. Well, I mean, nation, world favorite band, Steel Panther.
Galactic favorite.
What?
Galactic favorite.
Yeah, galactic favorite, Steel Panther. Was recently quoted in an interview with Journey of a Frontman. Michael Starr was recently quoted. Current singer, Steel Panther, ex-singer of LA Guns. And they talked about a few different things. How as the guys get older, they had to switch from regular Red Bull to Diet Red Bull because it has less calories and less sugar. But after they got off of that topic, they asked him about a TV show in the works for Steel Panther. And Michael Starr kind of goes on saying that like it's really, really hard to produce a TV deal. It's harder than finding a golden nugget the size of your balls, which for us gold prospectors, we know that, it's very hard indeed.
Very impossible. Well, yeah. It depends on the size of your balls.
That's true, I suppose. But they say they've been in negotiations to start shooting episodes for almost a year. So it's pretty cool. He's like, a lot of people don't know what Steel Panther's about. A lot of awareness could be raised for the Steel Panther cause. From the interview, it looks like it could be a reality show, like following them as they do their stuff in Las Vegas, because they play Monday nights on the Strip, the House of Blues, Ladies Night, of course. course. Mm, of course. And yeah, so it's that's awesome, you know. He that would be an awesome show, to be honest. I would watch that show religiously. I mean, I've seen them in concert five times. And that would just be great to, like, get the Steel Panther experience delivered to my television once a week.
Well, really, Al got a pretty good Steel Panther experience himself because he's a douche. But how was that anyway?
Yeah. So the first time I went to a Steel Panther concert, before the show, I got to meet them and interview them, which was amazing. One of the best / most embarrassing, like, experiences of my life when the camera didn't work and I had to use my iPhone to record, like, the funniest interview of all time. Yeah, it would be hilarious to see a television show with them because their personalities, their stage presence, not only even their stage presence, even behind the scenes, like, you know, them just hanging out backstage, it's electric. It's hilarious. It's everything you want in the television show. It would be a funny reality TV series, which is unheard of.
They could carry a show for sure.
They absolutely can carry a show. I'm absolutely excited for the prospect of that. The only question is, when can this happen?
Well, you know, Michael Starr was actually asked about that, and some censoring has happened because you know, we don't want to curse on the show, but yeah. So I mean, translated into normal people terms, you know, it's been ongoing for a year. You know, are we going to do it? Are we not going to do it? What's holding us up? I can't imagine what could possibly be holding them up. You know, Steel Panther is fun. You know, it's a lot of fun. And I feel like anybody that puts this TV show on their network is going to get a pretty decent following of fans. So, I mean, hopefully that happens soon. I would enjoy that thoroughly. And I think everybody here would too.
Well, we're definitely going to keep you updated if we have any more information about the possibility of a Steel Panther television show. Hopefully we can see that soon. It's a crime that it hasn't happened yet. Moving on to movie news / television news. This is a weird podcast, but it's a weird week for pop culture news. Do you guys remember School of Rock, the 2003 film starring Jack Black, directed by Richard Linklater? I mean, very quotable movie.
I recall a film by that name.
I remember watching that as a reward in my 7th grade English class.
Why would anyone ever reward you for anything?
No comment.
Well, anyway, yeah, I mean, every kid in 2003 went to see this movie and just fell in love. The movie was great. You know,
there weren't that many kids in 2003, but yeah, we get your drift.
Yes, it's honestly one of Jack Black's most famous roles, you know, outside of his Tenacious D, you know, all, you know, his projects and whatnot. I mean, honestly, he really hasn't made a better film since, in my opinion. He's tried to make a lot of, you know, family movies, but
Tropic Thunder.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Tropic Thunder is amazing.
You savage.
I'm talking about family films, though. He's tried to make a lot of family films since, and
Tropic Thunder was a family.
It was
film.
Absolutely not a family film. The movie was rated R, regardless. So anyway, so there's Nickelodeon just announced that they're preparing to shoot a School of Rock television show that would air in spring 2015. Now, they've already placed an order for 13 episodes of the show, and, you know, they're trying for this 2015 debut. But, I mean, is Jack Black involved? I don't believe so. But it would continue the adventures of Dewey Finn, you know, who is having a tough time trying to make it as a rock star, but now he's a substitute teacher, teaching, you know, these students about rock and roll and how to play and everything. Which is great. You know, the whole concept of the film was awesome, but will it have the same magic as the film? So that is my question to you, Ryan and Lucas. Can they do this spinoff with the same effect as the, you know, as the film? We've seen television shows based off movies that have succeeded and that have failed. Obviously, one that succeeded would be S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, the spinoff of pretty much the Avengers and the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe. And then you get something that failed, like the Zombieland TV show on Amazon, which we were really excited for, but it just didn't work. So Where do you guys see this spinoff of School of Rock?
You know, the movie was beloved. I can say that, like, everyone kind of loved the movie. Not kind of. They did love the movie. It was so good in so many different ways. Even music. Lucas, you can agree with that on a music level. It was really good. Well done. The TV show, I mean, it's coming over 10 years later. So there's that. There's that big gap between the movie and the TV show. So there's also the other matter of Jack Black. It depends if Jack Black comes back or not, honestly. Because he brings a certain charisma, a certain energy that not a lot of people can bring. He's very enjoyable to watch. He can kind of he can put a TV show on his shoulders and carry it. The question if it can kind of carry on. I think it could under certain circumstances. But yeah, there's definitely a lot of room for a TV show to play out, because it's a very basic idea. It's a good idea. It's a very basic idea, but it has a lot of room to expand, and it can go the distance if given, you know, the proper story, the right writers. It has that potential. Will it get there? It depends on a lot of circumstances. Lucas, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I'm hesitant, I guess. You know, the movie was really, really good, and it was good because it, like, the pacing was good, the acting was good, the story was good. I don't know how they can translate that into a television show. Like, when you think of something that's, like, a weekly episode, you know, you can immediately think of, like, two... So the two shows that I automatically think of because they're my favorites right now are Archer and Walking Dead. Archer, you know, had Archer Vice, but each week they got into, like, a new kind of shenanigan, right? But it was always kind of different. Same thing with Walking Dead. They're always moving. They're walking. They're going somewhere new. They're finding something else out. The story's moving forward. Maybe it's because I'm not a writer, but I don't see how they're going to continuously move the plot forward in interesting ways if the plot is just high school kids learning to play rock music, or, like, kids learning about rock music, you know?
I mean, I could see where you would get that idea. It seems like a very contained story.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, I feel like something like the School of Rock, kids learning to rock out and get the Jack Black's character, Dewey Finn, off to a great start. I feel like that kind of scratched the surface for a possible story that could, you know, be a couple seasons long at least. It could be, you know, obviously it's got to be a new group of students. It could be old people from the movie coming in. I feel like there's a lot of room they can run with that. Like, there's a lot of story to be told. If they use Jack Black's character, if not, then they kind of, I don't know what they can do.
I just don't want it to turn into a High School Musical rock and roll edition.
I see why you would say that.
You know, I just, because the original movie had musical numbers in it, but it made sense in the context of the movie.
Right.
You know, and I just don't want it to have to be like every week there's a new musical number.
Al, what do you
think? Like Glee. It's honestly, it's a Nickelodeon television series. If you've seen the programs that Nickelodeon and Disney Channel are making, it's, you know, they're very campy, and they're focusing on making child stars, honestly, and having them have successful music careers and all that. School of Rock would just be an introduction for some of these new talented kids to get their start on Nickelodeon and then just expand, have a more successful career through Nickelodeon. I don't believe that this show is going to be any good whatsoever, especially because I doubt they're going to be able to get Jack Black involved in any way. And, you know, they'll probably have to really take a page out of Disney's book with what they did with Girl Meets World, where they brought back the original stars of Boy Meets World. I mean, the show just got renewed for a second season, so they're doing something right. Kids are liking it, at least. I don't know about the nostalgia adults, if they're feeling the show or whatever. I haven't even watched it yet, which is sad, because I was actually really excited to see those characters again. I just think that if they don't bring back what was great about School of Rock in the first place, it's just going to be another crappy kid show.
The only good thing that I can say is that if it does kind of take off, hopefully it starts to, because, you know, like when stuff is trendy for kids, kids like it. And they like to say that they like it because it makes them cool. And so, like, I kind of hope that if it does take off, this is one of the catalysts for real rock and roll to come back.
And what that directly translates to is the 80s coming back.
Well, obviously, because right now we're into folk and, like, that kind of alt rock, which is, like, the 60s. Mm-hmm. Rock and roll would be the 70s.
Yep.
And what comes after the 70s?
Uh-oh.
The 90s?
I don't know, there's something in between.
Early 2000s?
No, you're a little far ahead.
1969?
You're a little bit behind. You're too much moon landing and not enough hairspraying guitar solos.
Listen, we have enough 80s with Steel Panther. We don't need any more 80s. They're good.
But
that's,
I mean,
it.
But in all seriousness, you know, it might be cool to have like a new generation of rockers inspired by a television show. Kids growing up with a Strat and an amp in their basement and, you know, kind of rocking out. So, I mean, I kind of hope it takes off.
Yeah,
well,
me too.
Cocaine's coming back, too, so the 80s technically is coming back.
God.
Was that
Ryan.
Is that a different conversation?
Yeah, that's a different conversation for another day. Okay. We're talking about School of Rock. You're bringing up cocaine. Let's just hope that this show can be successful in any way, shape, or form, and we will eventually put a muzzle on Ryan so he doesn't talk anymore. Hopefully. Moving on to our final topic of the night. Honestly, this whole podcast was about television shows and weirdly Nickelodeon television shows. There was a film, I think it's DreamWorks, actually. It was a trilogy, Madagascar. Was it three films, Ryan? Four? Eight?
I didn't see any of Madagascar, so I
really?
I think it was three.
I think I saw the first one's really good. It was with, like, Ben Stiller. I think there's probably a third one. But anyway, it spawned a spinoff from characters that were introduced in Madagascar called the Penguins of Madagascar, and that was a television show on Nickelodeon. Now they're turning that series into a full-fledged movie, and it's coming out soon. Is it the second trailer that was just released?
Yes,
all right.
The trailers, we are doing the second.
Yeah, so we're reviewing, not even reviewing, talking about the second trailer in this week's Trailer Talk. So the only thing that I was really interested about this movie is, yeah, the penguins are kind of funny and really odd, random characters in this whole franchise of Madagascar. But the really thing that struck to me was that Benedict Cumberbatch, who is in literally everything lately, he provides a voice for one of the new characters in the film. So is John Malkovich, who's always intriguing. And, so what did you guys think of this trailer? Especially someone like Ryan, who's never seen any of the Madagascars.
You know what? Actually, I quite enjoyed the trailer. It was really funny. I enjoyed actually picking out who was who in the trailer. John Malkovich seems funny. The one who caught my attention was obviously Benedict Jesus Cumberbatch. He's very funny. It just seemed just well put together, well thought out. You know, I like I said, I never saw the Madagascars. I knew the penguins were kind of like a favorite of those films, and now, you know, they're getting a film of their own, and, you know, there's substance to it. It seems funny. It's like a kind of the run of the mill secret agent thing. They're trying to take down is he an octopus or a squid, or I don't know.
It's like an octopus.
He's an octopus. There were some moments where I laughed out loud, which is, you know, funny, which is a good thing. It just seems like an enjoyable film, and they haven't lost a step, obviously. Is it Disney and Pixar?
Not even a little. I think it's DreamWorks and Nickelodeon.
DreamWorks still is good. It seems like an enjoyable film, and you know what? I'm probably not going to watch the Madagascars, but I'll probably check this one out. It seems like a fun, enjoyable time. Lucas, what'd you think?
Well, you know, I thought the trailer was pretty good.
It's really good.
You know, the penguins from Madagascar have always been one of, like, my favorite parts of that movie. So it was really cool to be able to see that. And to be honest, I think it's really going to be well done. You know, it's It's like one of those kids movies you really want to see. Like it's you question whether it's made more for adults or for kids, because I'm sure there's going to be references that kids won't understand. There are references that we're all going to get. So yeah, I guess I'm really excited for it.
Yeah, because we're 5 years old. I'll probably be the person that Lucas sees it with, so I'll end up seeing it in theaters, I guess. And yeah, so we'll let you know how that movie is with a short review when it comes out eventually. Well, that's going to wrap it up here for another episode of News Over Brews. I'm Al Manarino, and sadly, I'm drinking wine.
And I'm Ryan DeMarco, and I'm all out of jokes.
And I'm Lucas Jones, and I got nothing to add.
I don't know why you're even listening at this point, but thanks for listening.